Welcome to Fourth Stream Radio, where we consider concepts to help you on your quest to a satisfied mind. Today, Dave and I are going to continue talking about the big story, and today we're going to talk a little more just about the layers of how God does the stories and how he reveals things in the Word, and you can just go deeper and deeper and deeper.
Well, one of the cool things about the Scriptures is that story reveals our heart for something greater. Okay, mm-hmm. So something bigger. And in this case, when you're looking at the Bible, it's pointing you toward eternal life. So that's big. That's big news. That's big story.
Mm-hmm. And then where does it go?
Well,
I mean, that's enough.
Well, you know, there are so many layers to story because it's not just a matter of content.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, because if you could master the content and become spiritual, then the world would look different than it does. But really, the content needs to master our hearts, and that is really the goal of the Scriptures, and that's what makes the Bible, the God story, different than any other book.
When you look at any story in the Bible, whether it's kind of an overarching story, or whether it's a parable, or whether it's an actual story, what is it that God's really wants to grab my heart about?
Well, that's getting paid. Once you understand the story and get past the content, then you go beyond the content to, okay, these were real people. What were they experiencing? How did it feel to have the Son of God lay his hand on you and open your eyes, you know, for the first time in your life? What is the story that's behind it? And that helps us then to get in touch with the deeper things that are there that relate to our personal lives.
Okay, so if we take those kind of the layers that you talked about, the story and then the person it happened to and then the peripheral people who might have been observing or, touched by the story, and then the principle that causes questions and then the principle that comes out of it. So if that's kind of how it's layered, how does that look in like a particular story?
Well, we were talking a little bit yesterday when we were discussing this, the idea of you can almost pick any story from the Scriptures. One of them that stood out as we were talking yesterday was in Mark 4, where Jesus is in the boat.
Mm-hmm.
And they're crossing, and it shows the different layers that we were just talking about. So I'm going to read a little bit from that. On that day, when evening came, Jesus said to them, to his disciples, "Let's get into the boat and go over to the other side." And leaving the crowd, they took him along with them in the boat, just as he was, and the other boats were with him. And there arose a fierce gale of wind, and the waves were breaking over the boat so much that the boat was already filling up. Now, do you remember when we went and saw the Sea of Galilee?
It's not little.
No.
It's not like a small lake or a pond.
Yeah,
it's
not like the pond of Galilee. Well, and the interesting thing, too, is that it's kind of like a big bowl, like, mm-hmm. like a big dish. And it has a reputation for when the storms came up, they could just kind of like come right up over the edges of the surrounding territory. And then everything would just turn into chaos. And that's what these guys found themselves in, was a fierce gale of wind, and the waves were breaking over the boat so much that the boat was already filling up. Now, I've had that happen to me. I've been in 3 or 4 foot waves, and I've had them splashing over the edge.
Oh, I've never had that.
Yeah. Well, and I never told you about when this happened. We were up in Canada, and it is like so frightening. You know, even if you're close to shore, you realize the power of the wind and of the waves. And Jesus was, however, in the stern of the boat, and he was asleep on the cushion. You know, whatever, I'm sure it wasn't a boat cushion, but, and they woke him and said to him, "Teacher, do you not care that we are perishing?" So you've got the situation where it gets set up and they go out into the boat, and then the storm comes up. Jesus is sleeping in the front, and now the situation is driving things down into deeper levels, which is this layering that we were talking about a little bit earlier.
Well, and even as you talk about that, it makes me think about they were probably tired. They'd been busy all day, and obviously were, because Jesus went right to sleep. And I know that when I'm tired, now maybe men aren't like this, but I think they are. You can tell me if I'm wrong. When you're tired, fear comes easier. Being irrational happens faster. It just seems like all of your emotions are, you're ready for a rest, getting into the dark, going across the lake. And instead, you end up with all these heightened emotions. And along with that, you have all the people on the shore who are experiencing the storm also and possibly know that the boat is out there, and maybe their husbands.
Well, and then added to that, you've got the fact that the boat's filled with fishermen. So if they're afraid...
you and I would be very afraid.
Well, yeah. I mean, they know what kind of peril, which when that statement comes out, teacher or rabbi, do you not care that we are perishing? You know, that is really filled with incredible emotion, because they were feeling very afraid. And, hopeless.
Well, and just what a question. Isn't that, now I'm going another layer deeper. Is that okay?
It's okay with me.
Okay. Well, then the next layer is to see what their response is to that. Don't you care?
Yeah.
Don't you care about me?
Well, think of the things. This is pretty early in their experiences with Jesus, but they have had some experiences, and so they kind of know what's going on. And they call him rabbi or teacher. It's like master, because they really were seeing his authority. And here they are now. It's just them in the boat. I mean, he's not healing somebody up on the shore. He's not teaching groups of people. This is them.
Yes, it's not happening to someone else. Someone else isn't being healed. Someone else isn't experiencing the wine. This is happening to them. They're having a shortage in their life of some sort.
And so in this layered thing, it's not just the story. Now you're delving into and drilling down into the experiences of the people that are in the boat, and even the people that are on the shore and the families that are involved. And certainly there are people, you know, Peter was married, we know that. So, mm-hmm. You know, there are fearful people that are involved in the situation. And then it goes down deeper to the next level.
Uh-huh.
He got up, so he woke up off from his cushion.
Groggy.
His cush job that he had. He got up and he rebuked the wind, and he said to the sea, "Hush, be still." Now, I try to imagine what that would be like, you know, seeing him standing up. These are huge waves, and you know they're in peril.
And when he stood up, he had to have been balancing on the boat just like they were.
Right.
Until he said that.
Yeah, unless he was floating up in the air. I don't know, because he did that in one spot too. But and he says, "Hush, be still." And the wind died down. And this is interesting. It became perfectly calm.
And can you imagine, even as you say that, it makes me pause and take a breath. If I had really experienced that, I wouldn't suddenly start talking, I don't think. Wouldn't you sort of look all around you like,
whoa,
is this for real?
How could this happen?
Yeah. You'd be speechless, yeah. I would think.
You'd be going through the natural reasons for it, and then you'd be connecting with the fact that he just said, "Hush, be still."
Mm-hmm.
And you'd be moving from fear to awe.
Yeah.
I mean, just incredible wonder, because, you know, who is able to do that?
So, well, and then let's bring in the people who might be on the shore again. You think when you get to shore and you talk to them and you say, "Oh my gosh, you won't believe what happened." And they start talking about it and they go, "Is that what happened? We were on the shore and it was awful."
Is that why the storm stopped?
Yeah. and that's how, you know, I can relate. I can relate to that in my life, how that happens.
Well, then he takes it down to another layer, which is the nature of the scriptures, which was kind of what we started out with here. This is a beautiful, wonderful story, but the reality is that we're talking about this, the depth that the scriptures have. If you're willing to, this is what the Bible calls meditating. Mm-hmm. You know, you're asking the right questions. You're putting yourself kind of in the boat as much as you possibly can. And then you're looking at the next level that Jesus takes them to. And he said to them, "Why are you afraid? Do you still have no faith?" And so all of a sudden, a situation where you're talking about fear is turned into a conversation about faith. And again, the disciples, you know, what's going through their minds? What are they thinking at this point?
Well, and my first reaction would be, "You got to be kidding. What do you mean? Why were we afraid?"
Yeah.
And then just, you know, to have it start to dawn on you what he's really asking, I just think that would be, I don't know, I'd have some ambivalent feelings, I think.
Well, when he says this, "Why are you afraid? Do you still have no faith?" It says, they became very much afraid. So the fear that they had was compounded because they saw someone mm-hmm. who is able to still the seas. And he was asking them a personal question, a heart question mm-hmm. about their faith. And, you know, they said, "Who is this?" This is their conclusion. Who mm-hmm. is this then that even the wind and the sea obey him?
Mm-hmm. That kind of authority, that kind of
power.
Yeah, just that awesome, like, this is bigger than life for real, not like a movie. This is bigger than life for real.
And this is one of the many layers in the disciples' lives that they're going to experience. Like I said, this is early on in the process of them following Jesus, and this is going to be layered over and over again, which is why the disciples were so sold out by the time the resurrection happened, because, you know, they saw it over and over and over again. They saw the authority of Jesus, and it carried them away, carried their hearts away.
So when we're participating in that, when we're reading the story and experiencing it, it seems like the people who were actually in the story were challenged. And then you learn something. So if I sort of apply that to my life, I'm challenged and I learn something, it propels me to the next level.
Yes. Now, you think about the American paradigm and how we kind of look at it like, if everything's going okay with God, well, that means we're not going to have any difficulties. You know, things are going to be smooth in our lives. But that's the opposite of what's happening here. They were following God, and that got them into the storm, into opportunities for their faith to grow, for their faith to be built. And Jesus introduces this idea and continues to develop all the way through his ministry, his 3 or 4 year ministry, because he is trying to produce something in them that goes way beyond the story, way beyond the experience, right down into the core of who they are as people, because that's what Jesus is trying to capture.
And I love that no matter where we are in our faith, whether we're a new believer, whether we've been a believer for a while, whether we've been massively tested, it never goes away. God continues to make my faith a little more concrete. It makes me a little more persuaded about who he is. And I just become more and more steadfast. And I think that's God's goal in my life, in our lives, is to make us more steadfast, to believe him more securely.
So to our premise, which was that the story is woven, and there are a lot of levels. You were just talking about getting down to the concrete of what's going on in the heart. Well, it's not just a matter of seeing the story. I know every story in the scriptures because I've been studying the scriptures for decades. So content, I mastered the content a long time ago. But my heart is still being mastered, even by something as simple as this particular event, because now I've been in the water, I've been in the sea, metaphorically with regard to faith, and I'm to the point now in my life when storms come, I go, oh, that means that God is going to show up in the midst of this, because he is still building my faith. And not only just my faith, you mentioned this earlier, it's what about all the other people around that were involved? We're going to hear the story and experience the story coming out of the disciples' mouths.
Yeah. One of the other things that you've mentioned too is, do you know the heart of what you're reading? Just, it's not, again, you're saying it, it's not just the content, it's what is God trying to change in my life? What's the heart of the story for me?
Absolutely. That really is the goal of the scriptures as a heart goal. So time for a little shameless promotion of my book, Curious Journey, which you can find at forthstream.com. It's all about story. You'll see a picture of the book on the right, forthstream.com. Click on it. You can find it in an ebook, or it's pretty inexpensive. Easy read. It's about 110 pages. But it's just kind of taking a look at the idea of story and trying to make connections, because, you know, our stories are the real story. We live in a world that is so wrapped up in the whole idea of, you know, our 5 minutes of fame and, you know, being on a reality show or whatever. But, you know, our lives to God are a reality show. So check it out. Curious Journey at forthstream.com.
Yeah, it's really fun. The first part of the book is just you telling your story about your life, a little bit about your background, just the friendships you've had, the experiences you've had. And then the last little part of the book is more just about kingdom living and how that first part fits into the whole story.
Forthstream.com, it's a collection of resources to help you and those you know experience the freedom of a hope-filled kingdom life. If you'd like to listen to today's program in its entirety, go to forthstream.com and click on the radio button. See you tomorrow.
It's your life. Engage.